to the church covenant next week. We just want to say a few things tonight concerning the past year, goodness of God. And of course, another year is about to pass, and each one goes faster, it seems, and certainly that's true as you get older. Each year goes faster than the last. We do know this. We're 1 year closer to the coming of the Lord, 1 year closer to going home to be with the Lord, however that may be, whether the Lord comes and gets us or whether we leave before His coming. So we're thankful that we are closer to the coming of the Lord, and I look forward to the coming of the Lord more and more each year, partly for selfish reasons, partly simply because I'm just tired of this world. And so we look forward to the coming of the Lord. I cannot think of any reason that I would not want the Lord to come, even tonight. So tomorrow we enter a new year. We ought to do so with gratitude. We ought to do so with thanksgiving and praise. There's something about a new year that fills most people, even the lost, with hope. They look at a new year as a chance to start over, though they usually don't. They look at a new year as a chance to do better, though they usually don't. They look at a new year as a chance for perhaps personal improvement, set new goals. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things. But I think the reason that most people fail in their New Year's goals and New Year's resolutions, or whatever you want to call them, is because they simply fail to realize that a year goes by day, it doesn't just go all of a sudden. It's day by day. So if you want to start over, if you want to do better, if you want to improve, you've got to do that day by day throughout the whole year. And if you live the year day by day, again, with our eyes upon certain goals, certain things, then I believe there will be improvement. But just because the calendar changes doesn't mean that people are going to change. And certainly, as a child of God, it ought to be our goal every day to improve. It ought to be our goal every day to be more like the Lord. It shouldn't take the start of a new year to cause us to think about these things. But in the book of Deuteronomy, if we turn there, chapter 11, verse 12, and I just want to challenge you tonight to look back upon the past year and consider the goodness of the Lord. The goodness of the Lord. You know, a lot of times people say, well, I'll be glad when this year's over and we can just start over. Well, it doesn't work that way. Again, just because the calendar changes doesn't mean you start over. But we ought to look back upon the past year, again, considering the goodness of the Lord. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, notice verse 12. This is in relation to the land of Canaan, the land of Canaan, which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And what is said there about the land of Canaan is also true about all of God's creation. But it is especially true about God's people. God cares for his people from the beginning of the year even unto the end. And he does so year after year after year. No matter what happens, God is in control. He is in control from the beginning. He is in control throughout all eternity. No matter how you might view a year, the Lord is good. And the Lord is in control from beginning to the end. From beginning to end, God's goodness is displayed. In Psalm 65 and verse 11, we read, "Thou crownest the year with thy goodness." That's true of every single year that's ever been. The Lord has crowned every year with his goodness. Again, from the beginning to the end, God is good. No matter how you might view the past year, whether it be with pessimism or whatever, God has been good. God has been good to us every single day of the year, and God has crowned the year with his goodness. No matter what has happened in your life during this past year, whatever it is, and different things have happened to all of us, God has been good. Some have experienced failing health for themselves in the past year. Some have experienced the failing health of their loved ones in the past year. Some have experienced the sorrow of losing a loved one. Some have experienced some heartache of some sort. Some have experienced in the past year declining finances. Some have experienced loss in the past year. Some have experienced overwhelming challenges, overwhelming difficulties and overwhelming trials in the past year. And we've all experienced some sort of burden in the past year. But no matter what our experience has been in the year 2008, what Joseph said in Genesis 50 and verse 20 is true concerning every one of us. And Joseph told his brothers, he said, "You meant it for evil." But what we want to notice there, he said there in Genesis 50 and verse 20, God meant it unto good. That's always true for the child of God. There is never a time when that is not true. Even when God chastens us, he does so for our good. Everything he does, he means it unto good. It goes right along with what Paul said there in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, how we know that all things work together for the good, those that love God and for those who are called according to the purpose of God. So as we look back upon the past year, from the beginning of it to the end of it, and everything that has happened from January 1st to December 31st, everything that has transpired in that time frame, God meant it for our good. And God is good. And sometimes we need to just stop and think what didn't happen. Maybe that's how we need to look at our lives many times. We have a tendency to dwell on what we consider as bad things that happened. Well, think of all the bad things that didn't happen. And it's unbelievable what could have happened but didn't happen in our lives. So God is good. And the Bible declares over and over and over again the goodness of the Lord. Notice in the book of 2 Chronicles, we want to look at several verses, and a lot of these verses are going to say the same thing, but we're going to read them anyway because, again, it emphasizes the point of the goodness of the Lord. In 2 Chronicles 5 and verse 13, it came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound, to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good. With one voice, all the people lifted up their voice with this praise, for he is good. And that we ought to be able to do that at Home Baptist Church, no matter what has happened in this past year. We ought to be able with one voice to lift up our voices in praise and saying, for he is good. God is good. No matter what has happened in your life, God is good. Then notice in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, in verse 3, we see similar. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped. They worshiped and they praised the Lord, saying, for he is good. They worshiped and praised God, saying, for he is good. We ought to worship and we ought to praise God every single day of our lives because God is good. Because God is good. Not you don't have to praise God for what has happened in your life. If you can't do that, you praise God for who he is and what he is. And he is good. Then notice in the book of Ezra, chapter 3, book of Ezra, chapter 3, and verse 11. And they sang together. Again, we see the people in unity. They sang together by course and praising and giving thanks unto the Lord because he is good. They sang and they praised because God is good. And notice in Psalm 100, certainly David was an individual that had his share of trials and difficulties, but he was one who constantly spoke of the goodness of the Lord. And in Psalm 100 and verse 5, he says, for the Lord is good. That's present tense, it's always so. For the Lord is good. If you and I wake up tomorrow and we can't walk, we can't talk, or whatever, the Lord is good. That nothing changes those words, for the Lord is good. If you wake up tomorrow and you find out that the dearest one on earth to you has passed, for the Lord is good. That's always the case. Then notice in Psalm 106 in verse 1, he says, praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And then Psalm 107, and the 107th Psalm speaks much of the goodness of God, but in verse 1 he says, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. In verse 8, O that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Praise the Lord for his goodness. Oh, that men, oh, that children of God would learn to praise God for his goodness every single day. Then notice verse 15, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. We read the same thing in verse 21. We read the same thing again in verse 31. And then notice in Psalm 118 and verse 1. Psalm 118. Verse 1, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Verse 29 says the same thing. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Psalm 135 in verse 3, praise ye the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. Then notice Psalm 136 in verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Psalm 145 and verse 9, the Lord is good to all. And that's true. The Lord is good to everybody. There's different degrees, of course, to God's goodness. God is not equally good to all, but God is good to all. God is good to everybody. If God just gives you one thing in your entire life, He's been good to you. Because you don't deserve. We don't deserve one thing from the hand of God. So God has been good to us if He's just done one thing. He's been good to us. But even if God didn't do anything good for us, He Himself would still be good. Nothing changes that. For God is good. In Jeremiah chapter 33, Jeremiah 33 and verse 11, Jeremiah 33, verse 11, the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good. Again, everyone ought to be able to say, for the Lord is good. We read the same thing in Lamentations 3:25. Book of Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 7 says, for the Lord is good. He is a stronghold in the day of trouble. So all through the Word of God, this fact is declared. God is good. And it is a fact. God is good. There is never a time when that is not so. God is always good. God is not only always good, God is only good. There's no badness. There's no wrong in God. So He's always good, and He is only good. But we need to be clear, it's not what God does that makes Him good. God is good by His own essence. God is not only good, God is goodness itself. So, you and I, we may measure the goodness of an individual by what they do. But that's not how you measure the goodness of God. Because the goodness of God is not determined by His actions. He just simply is good. And again, He is goodness. Now, most of God's people will only admit and acknowledge the goodness of God when everything is going the way they want it to go. And then when that happens, they may say, God is good. God is good. Or if God is blessing them in some extraordinary way, just pouring down the blessings of heaven upon them, they may say, boy, the Lord is good. But what if He didn't do that? He'd still be good. And He wouldn't be any less good. And we need to always acknowledge the Lord's goodness. When the Lord heals a sick loved one, we will say, God is good. And nothing wrong with that. But what if God permits that sick loved one to die? God's still good. And He's just as good. He's just as good if He permits them to die as if He made them better and answered your prayer. It doesn't change the goodness of God. You see, many times we view the goodness of God from a selfish standpoint. But God is good no matter what. Many will say, well, God gives life. God is good. Yes, He is. God is also good when He takes life. And He's just as good. Just as Job said in Job 1, verse 21, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord's just as good in giving as He is in taking away. It's the same God that does both. Doesn't change the goodness of God. When you're in the midst of a trial, You're in the midst of a storm and you cry out to God for God to deliver you from that trial and for God to deliver you from that storm, and He does. God is good. God would be just as good if He let you go through that trial and storm the rest of your life. Still would not change the goodness of God. When God pours the blessings of heaven down upon your life, God is good. If God withholds the blessings of heaven from your life, God is good. When God saves some hell-deserving sinner, God is good. No question about it. But I want to say also, if God allows some hell-deserving sinner to die and go to hell, God is good. Has not changed the goodness of God one iota. If God saves your loved ones, God is good. God permits your loved ones to die and go to hell, God is good. You see, it doesn't change the goodness of the Lord. If God prevents a so-called tragedy in your life, and many of the things that we consider as tragedies are really the blessings of God upon us. But if God prevents some tragedy in your life, God is good. But He's just as good if He permits that tragedy to come into your life. Again, our problem is that we use the wrong standard for measuring goodness. We view it from a selfish standpoint. God is good. If I'm up on the mountaintop, God is good. If I'm down in the lowest valley, God is good. When I have peace, God is good. When I have turmoil, God is good. When I have strength, God is good. When I'm struggling, God is good. You see, nothing changes the goodness of the Lord. When we stand in the birthing room and see a healthy baby brought into the world, God is good. God is just as good if He brings an unhealthy baby into the room. People say all the time, well, as long as they're healthy. Well, what if they're not? Does that change anything? Does that change the goodness of God? Not one iota. God is good either way. God is good when we stand in the birthing room and rejoice in life given. And God is good when we walk away from the cemetery after burying a loved one. God's still good. We need to know that. We need to just realize that no matter what, God is good. Nothing can change that fact. The blessings of our physical life when you and I are healthy, God is good. When our health begins to decline, and when our health eventually perhaps disappears, God is good. God is still good. And again, we must always realize that. When we think about our salvation, the fact that our salvation has been fully accomplished, we have been saved by the grace of God. God is good. God has been so good to each and every one of us. Had He not saved us, He'd still be good. But you and I are saved. How we ought to thank God every day for His goodness, for His mercy. God's goodness is said to be abundant throughout the Word of God. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 35 says His goodness is great. How great is God's goodness? It's as great as Himself. It's as great as God. How big is God's goodness? It's as big as God. How abundant is it? It is as big, it is as abundant as God. We read of the riches of His goodness in Romans 2 and verse 4. You and I have experienced every day of our lives the riches of God's goodness. Every single day. There's not a day that's gone by that you and I have not experienced the riches of the goodness of God. And we, the goodness of God is said to be universal. Again, we read that verse in Psalm 145 in verse 9. The Lord is good to all. He causes, as Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 5, He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and He sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. God is good to all. He's good to the lost man. He's good to the saved man. He's good to all of His creation. God is good. The goodness of God is part of His glory. In Exodus 33 and verse 18, we see that Moses is praying, and he's saying, I beseech thee, Lord, show me thy glory. And in response, there in Exodus 34 and verse 6, God showed him His goodness. He also showed him His mercy and His long-suffering, which is all part of the goodness of God. But the point is, when Moses prayed for God to show him His glory, the goodness of God is part of His glory. And the glory of God is an amazing thing. As you study the glory of God throughout the Scriptures, the glory of God, we know, came upon the tabernacle. It filled the tabernacle. It filled the temple. It filled the Lord's church there on the day of Pentecost. And in all three cases, the glory of God was something that could be seen and something that could be felt. And what was seen and felt made an impression upon everyone that was there. And that's the glory of God. The glory of God is something that can be seen. It's something that can be felt. It's something that leaves an impression upon us. And part of the glory of God is His goodness. And you and I ought to be not be so blind as not to see the goodness of God. We need to see the goodness of God every single day. Not only do we need to see the goodness of God, we need to feel the goodness of God. And we need to see it and feel it in such a way that it makes an impression upon us, that it changes our life, the goodness of God. God is good. We can't say that enough. We can all find a reason in our sinful minds to have a pity party. But God has been so good to each and every one of us. And we ought to just take the time to just thank God for how good He has been to each one. God is good. Sure, there's been trials. There's been difficulties. There's been sickness. There's been deaths. God is good in all of it. And someone will say, well, I don't understand why such and such happened, and we'll understand when we get up to heaven. I'll tell you something, you won't even care when you get up there. It's not going to matter. It's not going to concern you why this trial came in my life. You're not going to worry about it then. It's not going to matter. So there are things we're just never going to understand. But one thing we ought to understand, and we ought to understand very, very clearly, God is good. God is good. It would do us all good. And again, it goes against our human nature, every single one of us. But it would do us all good to do as Job. When Job lost everything and had trial upon trial in his life, he said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. We need to praise God in everything and just thank Him for His goodness. Thank God He has been good. So as you look back on 2008, is there anyone who could possibly say God has not been good? God's been good. God is good. And again, his goodness is not determined, his goodness is not measured by what he does. His goodness is measured by who he is. He's God. Because he is God, he is good. We don't know what's going to happen in 2009. Don't even know if we're going to make it to 2009. We do know this. Whatever happens, God is good. Some sitting here may not live through the year. God is good. Some may experience the death of a child or the death of a parent, the death of a spouse. God is good. It always says, that doesn't minimize. That doesn't minimize our trials. We just need to view everything in the goodness of God. God is good. And we just need to trust Him. So I pray that we would approach the new year just realizing the goodness of God. Take a look back and realize the goodness of the Lord. I want to give opportunity, if any male member of Home Baptist Church like to testify of anything, you're free to do so right now.